Amen. Amen. Glad to be in the service one more time. Amen. Now I can understand what Walter is saying, because I think that we've gotten a little too relaxed, too comfortable. God has blessed us so much. I think sometimes we actually think that we deserve the blessing. Well, let me let you know, the Bible says that you'll never be better than an old, wretched, wicked sinner who's saved by grace. It was nothing that we did, nothing that we can do. We don't deserve what we get. But we get what we get because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So we ought to always be ready to praise Him. The Bible says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Do you know what the gates is? That first door that you hit when you come into the church. And then it goes a little bit further and say, enter into the courts with praise. Do you know what the courts is? You're sitting in the courts. So when you come in here, you ought to come in here with praise on your lips. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Because He is such a good God. Amen. Our call to worship scripture this morning comes from Proverbs 16:3. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you today, Lord God, to say thank you for this once again, another opportunity to come into your house and offer up praise and worship to your name for your goodness, for your blessings, for your understanding, for your love and your kindness. And Father, we pray that while we are here giving you the praise, we pray, Father God, that you be with us, be in this service, so that we won't be the same when we leave here today. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ, holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. We now have our opening hymn, hymn 387.
Comes to trade.
Father God, we come to you with humble heads and bended knees. Our spirits are pouring out into you. Because one thing we are sure of is that we need you. Master, there are so many hills to climb. There are so many things that we must go through. And Master, as we sit here today in your courts, you know all of our issues. Master, we come knowing that because of your mighty hand, you can deliver us. Because of your might, that we can go through because of your power. If we believe, we can walk on water. Master, we come to say thank you. Because we realize that we can do all things but fail as long as we got you. You are our sustainer. You are our power. You're the lifter up of our heads. We say thank you. There's nothing that we can't go through. There's nothing that we can't overcome. There's nothing that we can't pull down. There's nothing that we can't reach beyond, because you are our God. You are our Lord, our Savior. You are our keeper, our master, our deliverer, our healer. We say thank you. There's nothing in this world that the enemy can show us that can destroy us, because we are kept close to your bosom. So we come this morning to say thank you. Our heads may be bent down and our knees, our heads may be humbled and our knees may be bent down, but it's not because we are sorrowful. It's because we give you honor, glory, and thanks, because you are awesome and powerful God. We come this morning to say thank you. Thank you as we sit in your courts, because your power cover us. It keeps us, and it gives us all that we need. Father, we ask that you continue to do these things. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say, amen. Amen. We ask now that that the officers will come for the purpose of our tithing and offering.
And ever, oh, you've done for me. Blessed and glory and honor, they all belong to you. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing.
God, we come to say thank you now for these gifts that have been given here today, Lord God. And we ask now that you bless those, Lord God, who honored your word. Bless their households, Lord God. Bless their families, Lord God. We pray now that you bless everything that they put their hands to. And Father God, we even pray that you bless those, Lord God, who did not have it but had the desire. And Father, we pray now that as we as a church reach and use these monies, Lord God, we pray that we do them in such a way that even those who can't call your name, can't speak for themselves, can't see, will still see and hear that you can deliver. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Lead me, guide me, everybody, along the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray. I am weak and I need Thy strength and power to help me over my weakness. Help me through the dark Thou face to see. Lead me, O Lord, will you lead me? Lead me, guide me along the way. I am lost if you take your hand from me. I am blind without Thy light to see. Lord, just always let me Thou servant be. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. Lead me, lead me, guide me along. Straight. Lead me, O Lord. Lead me. How many of us in here want to be led by God? Don't play with me now, because sometimes that means you got to do what you don't want to do. Amen. So sometimes God will lead us to places that we don't think he'll lead us to, because he has intention for us to do something that we've never done before, because he has set up time so we can do things that people will see, that has the ability to show them that God has all power. Amen. So he'll lead you to some situation where you won't have any power or any say, but yet and still you'll have all power with you. Ah. Y'all didn't hear me. Amen. So lead me, O God. Lead me. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we pray now that you be with us as we stand before your people. For as I said, it's not me that has power, but it is you. And we pray, Father, that you say something in their hearing today that would give them strength, power to make it through. Because the enemy is busy. He is searching the world to see whom he can devour. And we pray now, Father, that you strengthen us. Gird up our loins to give us strength to stand the wiles of the devil. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn me to Romans chapter 7? Romans chapter 7. And today we will read 22nd, 23rd, and that 24th verse. And it reads, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Amen. Amen. Just for a few moments, we'll talk about where the battle will be fought. Where the battle will be fought. My brothers and my sisters, in part one of this series, we sounded the trumpet to warn you that you are in a battle. You are involved in a spiritual war. We pressed upon your hearts the importance of your involvement. We said to you, it is no longer okay for you to sit on the sideline and to watch, but you must become a warrior and fight, because this battle is not just universal, but is also personal. Paul said to us that he see a war going on in his members, one against the other, trying to bring the other under submission. Now you've been warned. You have been told about the battle. The next thing, or shall I say the next question is, where will the battle be fought? When we speak about spiritual warfare, there are three battlegrounds. Mind, the church, and heavenly places. And when we think about those things, we also have to consider man, how God constructed us, how God designed us. God designed us with three parts. He designed us with a body, with a spirit, and with a soul. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 bears it out when it talks about that man was designed with a body, spirit, and a soul. Well, Paul shares with us in verse 22 and 23 that the battle would take place in our inner part. In the most central part of us, the part that we consider to be our core, the part where our mind and our heart dwell. This place is the part of us that is divine. It will not die. It has no age. It goes from eternity to eternity. It's the part of us that will return to God when Jesus comes back for the second time. It is the place where our thoughts and our actions originate. I know many of us think that our thoughts and our actions originate in our brain, but I come to tell you today that your thoughts do not originate in your brain, and nor do your actions, your thought and your actions originate from the core of you, from your center. So many of us are cerebral people. We just think that things are as we think they are, but they're not. This is a spiritual battle. This place, where everything about us exists, is where our personality come from. It's where our behavior comes from. This place is very important, and Satan knows that. And we must remember that he knows that. Oftentimes, the Bible refers to this place as our heart or our mind. But when it refers to that as our heart of our mind, it's not talking about this heart that beats in your chest. It's not talking about this brain that's in your head. It's talking about this centralized place. And if you don't believe me, Matthew 9:4 says this. When Jesus was chastising the scribes, he says, "Wherefore think ye evil in your heart?" He wasn't talking about this heart. He was talking about this special place where everything about you comes from. This place where God should dwell, but evil dwells if God is not there. This special place that he is speaking about should be able to connect with God. This special place has a special meaning to God because he's waiting for it to come back home. This special place where this war is going to take place, if you haven't figured it out, it is your soul. This war is serious. And you better believe that the enemy is serious. He didn't come to play with you. He didn't come to, do a handshake and high five you. The Bible says he come to rob, kill, and destroy. Which means when he attacks to take you out. That's why this is called a war. He didn't come to play patty cake with you, hopscotch, double dutch. His intentions are to kill. His intentions are to make you an embarrassment to God. His intentions are to take your behaviors and make them no longer look like a child of God, but look like they belong. Satan invades your soul with his precepts, his thought process, so he can lead your soul away from God. Now remember, I said that God designed us in a certain way. But you must know, Satan knows how God designed you. He knows you are a trichotomy. He knows there are three parts of you.
And not only did he know that you have three parts, but he knows how your three parts function. Many of us don't understand how we function. Let me help you. The Bible shares with our spirit is our inward part, the part that possesses God's consciousness, that we may stay in contact with God. John chapter 4, verses 24 teaches us this. It says that our lives and how we live is what give us access to God. Prayerfully, we are being humble and honest before God. If we are living humble and honestly, we have access unto God by way of our spirit. It's a humble. Let out. Now they want to be the boss. Y'all on Instagram like I am. Every woman tell me she a boss lady. Ain't nothing wrong with being a good woman. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with having aspirations. But don't make that who you are. Because we all have to submit to somebody. And in order for us to stay in connection with God, we must submit ourselves to God. If we're not submissive and honest with God, our spirits cannot connect with God. And guess what Satan knows that? That's why pride becomes before a fall. Because when we are prideful, it's hard for us to be humble. When we walk around with our chest stuck out like a peacock, because we think we're all that, we fail to realize we are walking in a place of pride. Pride will disconnect you from God. Satan knows how to make you cry. He gives us things. I had a sister who said, Roger, how do you know that it's not a blessing for God? God don't give you all blessings. Some blessings come from the enemy because he wants to fool you. He wants to trick you. And later on down the road, you'll find out that wasn't a blessing. You'll find out it was a setup. What's the old saying? All money ain't good money. All things ain't good things. Just because it looks like it's good don't mean it's good. The enemy has the ability to give things to us to make us become pride. We'll walk in our pride and don't realize that our spiritual man is struggling because he can't make a connection with God because of our pride. Deceptive. Small, but you got to realize you're in a war and you must be smarter than him. The second thing Satan knows that God has given us is a body. It is our external part that possesses world consciousness. And that's so that we can stay in contact with the material world. God made it so that through our senses, we can stay in contact with the world. That sense thing is tough because the enemy knows how to play with our senses. What you see, smell, what you taste, what you touch, and what you hear. He knows how to play with our senses. But we have to be smarter and realize that all things ain't good things. Paul teaches us that he can do all things that he wants to do, but everything is not expedient for him, which means that just because he can do it doesn't mean that he should. You are in spiritual war. And the enemy knows how God has designed you and how God has structured you to function. The final thing that he knows that God has given us, he knows that God has given us a soul. And he knows that that soul is important to God. Because he knows that that soul has some things that's in it that makes us who we are. Luke 9:23 says this, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It didn't say every now and then. He said, you got to put yourself in check every day. When you get up, you better put yourself in check. Because I'm going to tell you, that's two parts of me. I might have told you this before. That's two parts. There's Reverend Roberts. And there's Rodriguez. Rodriguez is from 14 West Clover Lane, Ridgecrest, Montgomery, Alabama. Born and raised. Every now and then, if you hit that right button, Rodriguez will show up. But I know that he's there. So when I wake up in the morning, I make sure I put him in check every day. Because he can say some things and do some things that, that he shouldn't do. Because somewhere down the line, he learned that he was big enough and bad enough to do things. Doesn't mean that it was right. We have to put ourselves in check every day. None of us good enough to go beyond. I don't care how long you've been on this earth. I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care how long you've been good in your own mind. Every day you still must put yourself in check. Because somebody's at your soul knocking. Trying to get in. So he can take your soul back to hell with him. He knows how God has constructed us. Scripture even say in verse 24, says, for whoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25 says this, for what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? In other words, lose your soul. What does it profit you to walk not according to the word of God? What does it profit you to be so bad to do whatever and say whatever and treat people however you want to and think you're going to talk behind people's back, call them out their name, scandalize their name, backbiting? Oh, y'all don't. Some of us, the worst thing that ever was invented was a telephone. Baby. And it used to just be the women. Yeah, I said it. The men nowadays are worse than the women. Gossiping. Talking about stuff you really don't know about. God said, what is that going to profit you when you are spewing evil? Because I know y'all think it's just nothing, but it's evil. Because you're spewing lies. You're talking behind your brother's back. It means you're being deceptive. Connive. Satan knows what you like. I got a sister. A whole disposition change. Have you ever just seen somebody just go from one stage to another stage on you real quick? And you're like, where'd that come from? Gossip about, that's her. Went from being sad to happy all of a sudden because now we're talking about something that we shouldn't be talking about. Satan knew what you like. And he's serious about attacking your soul. He's serious about taking you back to hell with him. His desire is to make sure you don't receive your heavenly home. Kicking rocks. While the war's been fought right out. And I say right out in front of you, they're playing out in your own life. And you won't fight. God says it's time to stop being babies. How long are you going to drink milk? At some point, you got to start eating meat so you can get strength so you can fight. Stop sitting on the sideline because Satan is not playing with you. His intentions are to destroy you. His intentions are to take you to a place.
You know, Hollywood has messed all of us up. We have this Hollywood place where hell is. When we breathe, when we fire.
No, you're going to be in the place of darkness where you're going to suffer for eternity. Your soul will suffer things for eternity. You're going to be tormented for eternity. Stop playing with him because he's not playing with you. Paul helps us to understand something in verse 24. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul helps us to understand that by ourselves, we are not strong enough to overcome the devil. We are not powerful enough to fight him off. But then in verse 25, in the second part of that verse, he asks a rhetorical question. He says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me? Because he understood in verse 25 that we got to deliver. Hallelujah. I'm happy to tell you that we got someone who's going to help us to overcome his attempts, who's going to help us fight the battle. But first of all, you must humble yourself and be honest with him. If you humble yourself and be honest with God, God says he will do something special for you. In 1 John 4 and 13, he said he will place his spirit in you. He will put his spirit in your soul so that you will have power enough to be victorious in all your battles. Nobody praise God. I just said God will give you something that's more powerful than you. Huh? God will fight your battle so you won't have to fight them. Because you don't have enough power to fight your battle. Let me bring that home. Let me make it a little bit closer. It's a little bit of an embarrassing thing for me, but it happened. I had a gentleman who used to bully me when I was in the fifth grade. I was just a skinny kid, big head, small. On honor roll, and I was walking home with a guy who was at Ballingrad in junior high school. Big kid. Took my report card one day and looked at my report card. Oh, you a smart kid. So from that day on, he picked on me every day because we had to cross path. He would bully me. He would bully me so bad one day I went and hid in the bushes because he tried to hit me with a stick with a nail. But I told my niece about it. Who was at Ballingrad? And at this time, Vaughn was 6'1", about 215 pounds. Y'all think I'm joking. Y'all get a chance to meet her, too. She was about 6'1", 215 pounds. I told her about it. She said, you point him out to me. The next time you come home, I want you to get to the house early because I want to come and pass by him. I want you to point him out. I pointed him out to her. Baby. When I tell you she went to wailing and went to whooping and went to fighting, and I'm just standing there watching. Because she and I had a beautiful relationship, she was willing to fight for me. Y'all still missed it. When you have a relationship with God, you don't have to fight your battles. God will fight your battles for you. All you have to do is tell God about what's going on. Y'all don't hear me. He said, I placed my spirit in you so that my spirit will now have power over your spirit. It have power over your body, and it'll connect them all to your soul, which I am protecting. He said, I will fight your battles for you. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. He said in Deuteronomy 20:4, he says, for the Lord, your God, is who goes to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. In Deuteronomy 3:22, he says, ye shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you. And then in Psalms 34:17, he says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. Paul said in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. He said, I'm going to be victorious because I got Jesus. Y'all don't hear me today. I got Jesus down in my soul who will fight for me. Give God some praise because he's worthy to be praised. He said, I know you're going through something every day. I know you're encountering something every day because this battle is a daily battle. He said, but I've given you power. I've given you strength to overcome every situation. As a matter of fact, you don't have to fight. You're delivered because of my might. Give God some praise in here. For he is a good God who's worthy of all praise. Get off the sideline and start fighting, baby, because the one who's standing fighting with you will be victorious. Give God some praise because he's worthy to be praised. Amen. Give God praise. Amen. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. He's willing to fight for us. When we get off the sideline and get in the game, our cohort, as they say in sports, is the one that can't be stopped. He's more powerful than anything that you'll encounter. His strength is beyond all strength because all strength belongs to him. Give God the praise. Amen. Jesus. The doors of the church are now open.
Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now. Just now. Come to Jesus.
Come to
only trust him. Oh.
But Father God, we pray now as we prepare to leave this place, that your grace and mercy will go with us to carry us through all that will be laid before us. For we know that the enemy is waiting on us. For some, he's waiting at home. And for others, he's waiting at work. And for some of us, Lord God, he's waiting as soon as we leave these doors. But because of grace and mercy, we know that we can make it through. We ask now, Lord God, that you strengthen us. Show us who we are. For some of us don't see ourselves for who we really are in you. Because in you, some of us are warriors. We are soldiers, more powerful than we think that we are. Help us to see just who we are. We ask now, Lord God, that you watch over us until we return into this place where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen.
As we go, tell